This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Oh, school days. The books, the binders, the new pens, the crippling debt taken on almost without a thought. Student debt is, in fact, one of the biggest economic issues for our country and for a lot of people personally. This is according to Jill Schlesinger, certified financial planner, CBS business analyst, and author of the new book, The Dumb Things Smart People Do With Their Money.
There's $1.5 trillion of outstanding student loan debt right now.
That is like, I can't even process.
Trillion.
It's just, it's by like the way, a GDP.
Yeah, and so by the way, trillion, here's a little thing to think about. Whenever you hear the number trillion, just think 12, T-12, 12 zeros after that one. Trillion. Trillion. One and 12 zeros. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of freaking money.
Today on the show, student debt. When you should take it on, how much you should take on, and what to do if you have not saved enough to send your kid to the school they want to attend.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Amazon Web Services, helping millions of builders, from startups to enterprises to governments, transform their industries with secure, AI-ready cloud services. Learn more at awsishow.com/podcast. Support also comes from NPR sponsor, LinkedIn Jobs. When it's time to hire for your small business, you want to find the right person for the job. LinkedIn Jobs can help. Learn more at linkedin.com/indicator. Terms and conditions apply.
Student debt is a thing that has come up even to extremes that people say, like, you shouldn't go to college at all. Or if you go, you should major in like one of three things or something in order to be able to make enough money to justify having spent 4 years in this way. I feel like student debt and home debt are probably the two questions that you must deal with the most.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Student loan debt is this very pernicious problem that I see. I'm not going to solve the education crisis in the United States, but here's the problem that I see on the ground level, and that is parents are now recognizing that kids, even though if they don't really need a college degree, because a lot of the jobs they're getting probably don't require a college degree,
I draw on my complete knowledge every day.
And as do I with my international relations and English. So that's not the case in the employment landscape because employers do want a college degree. You know, you can see jobs that used to be filled by high school graduates and now they're like, well, I don't care. I might as well get someone with a college degree. If I could, I should. So now a college degree is very important. And we know there's a ton of research that shows that people who have college degrees make more money over their careers than those who don't. So there's that number that kind of proves it. And so parents say, I must make sure my kids are educated. And it is true, the kids are really borrowing the lion's share of the money. However, the fastest growing segment of student loan borrowers are people over the age of 60. Okay, now look at the face. Let me just do this as theater of the mind, listeners. Stacey took a step back, took a breath, raised her eyebrows and said, did Jill just BS me on that? Did she make that up?
Well, I know you wouldn't make something up. So I'm trying to think, is this like a continuing education thing? Are people going to culinary school?
I have the answer. It is a little bit of that.
Okay,
but
yeah.
It's mostly that parents and grandparents are co-signing their loans for their kids because the student loan borrowing rules changed. And you can only get so much in your name as a young person, and then you have to have someone who co-signs or gets a plus loan.
Now, this makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because what we're seeing is that parents are going into debt to put their kids through school. So we have sort of these weird dual problems. One is that kids themselves are acquiring that debt, and we have a millennial generation that may feel like, I can't go find a better job because I like this one is fine, it's okay, and I can pay my student loans.
Oh.
And so we are seeing this generation that's very uncertain financially. They're stuck in jobs that are okay in some respects, but maybe they might have chosen different paths if they weren't saddled with that debt.
And the whole point, I feel like, often of getting an education is to feel like you are creating opportunity and freedom for yourself.
And it's also, people are thinking, if I get the degree, it'll equate to more money. And it may not be the case. You really have to be careful. From the parent's point of view, not only is it that you're burdened going into your 60s, but I hear from a lot of parents who say, well, I dipped into my 401k to pay for my kids' education.
Right.
I borrowed from my retirement account through my municipality to do this. I pulled back because I was helping my kid out with education.
That's sweet.
isn't it? And now I'm so worried
about
them.
It's like a disaster. It's a bad, yeah.
I literally get short of
breath.
You
actually have your hand on your heart.
I did. Because I hear about these so often. So when my friend calls me up and says, my kid is going to XYZ College up in Vermont, and I say, but wait a minute, that's a private school. How are you going to afford that? And she's like, well, she really wants to go out of state.
Right.
That's not the answer. The answer is your kid needs to get educated. You have only so much money to put towards that education. So the state school would have been fine, and you could have actually shouldered that burden. So if you go from that premise, then how do we solve this problem? Okay, we say, we agree, most people should go get a college degree, but most people shouldn't go into debt up to their eyeballs to attain the degree. So okay. What do we have to do as a family? We got to talk. The talk is not the day after the college acceptances come in that you then say to your kid, oh, Stacy, honey, sorry,
you can't
go. We
right.
can't afford
I mean,
it. You can't do that
I feel
to
like
them.
I'm short of breath. Like, that's a terrible thing to have to say to your kid.
It's terrible. But, you know, what is reasonable is that when the kid's in ninth grade, to say, we totally love the idea. You're going to go to college. This is fantastic. And here's what we think. We believe that we can support this as a contribution to college. That's it. Now, if you're really smart as a family, we are going to approach this and say, if you can get into a really awesome, awesome, awesome school, hopefully that school has a big endowment and you'll get money. But if you can't, just so you know, here is what we can do to help you. This is it.
Does that feel like putting too much on a really young person?
Yes, unfortunately. I'm sorry to say. It's like saying, honey, you got to put a condom on when you have sex.
Yeah.
That feels like a lot to say to somebody. And you know what?
I'm still recovering.
I know, from that right there.
I don't
want to even think about a condom. How are we talking about a condom? What happened? Because we have to have harder conversations. And I point out in the book, and especially in this chapter, a lot of the people that I talk to are people who themselves went to college and whose parents could afford it. And they feel so bad about themselves that they cannot extend that same opportunity to their kids.
Yeah.
That weighs on them like crazy. We're kind of back to a period where the family is taking care of everybody, right? We're all in it together. If you screw up your own retirement, it's going to fall on your kids anyway.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so what I think is the responsible way to discuss it is to really be clear. We hope we can help you out later. This is what we can afford now. That I'm convinced that a college degree is worth it. If that means 2 years of community college and transferring to state school, that's fine. But if you're telling me that you're borrowing tens of thousands of dollars and you're not going to get the privilege of saying I went to a premier named school, you may be shooting yourself in the foot. And so if you are a great coder, consumer computer scientist, or you're going into a science field and you think that that's going to give you a $90,000 a year starting salary, then sure, you can get $80,000 of student loan debt. But if you're an English major,
like the equivalent to the first year
of salary. First year of salary.
Oh,
so
okay.
If you think, I'm an arts history major and I hope that I could become a docent and I will be making $28,000 a year, best case scenario, then limit your borrowing. And if you are really considering a graduate degree, I cannot emphasize enough. I've talked to a lot of people in graduate schools who say people are not being thoughtful about whether or not that degree is necessary. Just be careful. That's what
right.
I would say.
It's not,
be careful.
It's not just always going to be a good.
No. Again, this is just be thoughtful and look at where you stand. What am I going to gain?
This episode of The Indicator was produced by Constanza Gallardo. Our editor is Patty Hirsch. Our fact checker and intern is Willa Rubin. And The Indicator is a production of NPR.
There's a subculture of people fascinated by prime numbers. You know, like 7, 11, 13, 17, 19.
Primes go on forever. There is no final biggest prime number.
And the hunt for the latest monster prime number can take years.
You end up with a 24 million digit long number.
Ideas on the power and beauty of math on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.